Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
32 and not out. The navy blue juggernaut continues to crush everything in its path like a big, massive monster truck with Falkirk emblazoned on it. Love it. I am your host, John McInally, and as ever, joined by the Ginger Girl Pod, the one-man band, in the main stand, lover of the prawn sandwich, it is Mr. Ross Wayne, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening, sir. How are you? Good?
I am having a swig of beer for the working man, Ross.
Good lad. You've had a busy day, I think.
I've had a busy day. This is my third, radio show. I've done two today. I've done Fred McCauley on Greatest Hits Radio. Listen every Sunday, 10 till 1. Done that this morning, and then I was straight into the joy of Super Scoreboard this afternoon, watching the old, covering off the Old Firm game. So that was fun games. And fair enough, it was a decent, you know, the Old Firm games can sometimes be kind of hit and miss, but that was a pretty good game this afternoon, I have to say. 3-3, lots of controversy, lots of VAR decisions, but anyway, we're not here to talk about the Old Firm, we're here to talk about the one and only Falkirk Bears. Just did your little intro there, and got a wee birthday mention on Nortano yesterday, Ross. I hope everybody heard it.
Yeah, I did, so thank you for whoever told Jack Cochrane about that, who's the announcer these days as well. So yeah, shout out to Jack and whoever put the message, because I don't think it was you. I think it must have been
It wasn't me. I know who it was. It was Mr. Chris Hines and Miss Joe Hind, who were behind that. I was in the pike and I was like, I'm sure I've just heard Ross get a mention over the tannoy there. So
yeah, I was literally on my way back for the gents when I heard it. To be fair, I wasn't actually at the seat, but
Happy birthday, Ross. It's what age are you going to be tomorrow? 42, is that? 43. Catching up, son. You're catching up.
That's it.
What are you going to get? You've asked for any Falkirk gifts for your
I'm sure there will be. I hope so. Can't be a better club merch.
A lot of championship winning material is out there at the moment. We've actually got a competition which we'll look out for on our socials. I'm just waiting for it to arrive, of an amazing print that someone's done of like Sabutio figures as the kind of championship winning team. So it's a guy who's made up a couple of prints of those, which we're going to give away and show once they arrive. So that'll probably be next week. But there is a lot of championship. I saw a lot of champions t-shirts yesterday. We talked about Gordon Hall and the pints and prints. I saw a few of those t-shirts yesterday, so everyone jumping on board the champions bandwagon, and I am here for it.
Absolutely.
Listen, before we continue with the show, let's shout out to our sponsors. It's the Lava Cup, it's the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. Shout out to Ian and the boys. It's all happening at the Falkirk Stadium Saturday, the 25th of May. The opening ceremony kicking off at 11:30. Get yourself along to watch the games, because all the money and support is going to help Strathcairn Hospice and the FDAMH. And if you want to get involved in the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, if you think, you know, you've done this in the past, Ross, haven't you?
A few years ago now. I'm trying to think what year it would have been, maybe 2018, 2019 or something like that. It was certainly pre-COVID. And really, really good set up at the stadium. And then obviously, as we know, the guys have kind of continued it after their journey. And they've now got their team on the go, which is brilliant.
It's amazing. So if you want to get involved with it, it's more about, I think it's about men's mental health. It's about, you know, not only just going on, maybe getting fit, losing a bit of weight and stuff like that. It's all about kind of, you know, they have a great camaraderie, these guys, a great group of guys. So if you want to get involved in that, speak to Ian, Doogie or Mark, you'll get the links below. And remember, head along to the Lava Cup, because the boys will be involved in that. It's an over 40s tournament, and there's going to be teams from all over Europe there having just a great laugh, a great time. And like you say, it's all about the mental health aspect of it, losing weight, getting fit. So get along. The Lava Cup Facebook page is below, so check that out in the bio. I'd like to get along, actually, the football. There is talk of a game between Falkirk Daft and the football fans in training. So keep your eyes, because we'll be looking for ringers, because neither me or Ross are brilliant footballers. Well, maybe I'm talking for myself here, Ross, but we'll be looking for ringers.
I can spray a pass.
Just sit in the middle of the park, just spraying passes left, right, sir. But we'll be looking for ringers, and keep your ears out for that over the next few weeks, because I think we should have interviews or to see how good people are, and they've got to come on and give us their CV just so we can judge,
Yeah, that would be cool. Unless they've got a background in playing football, then we'll just sign them up.
That's true. I'm actually thinking I could maybe ask some of the boys that work on Super Scoreboard along. That would be interesting. Maybe Kenny Miller. We could get Kenny Miller or Mark Wilson, Marvin Bartley,
Yeah, that's true. I was more thinking Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dale, to be honest.
Well, that's true. We'll keep an ear out for that. We'll make it happen. And like I say, get along to the Lava Cup at Stadium, 25th of May. Junior Bairns coaching day is happening on 8th of April, which is tomorrow. If you listen to this podcast, it's maybe have been already. There's going to be a presentation to Chet Strathy, who was a 300th member and was added one day after being born by their granddad, Derek Steele. There you go.
How good is that? That's like you would expect nothing less of Mr. Steele. But 300 members is brilliant, John.
Yeah, it really is.
And Sarah and her team do an amazing job.
All know the job that Sarah's. I mean, she's been doing it for God since you were away.
Yes, I must have been about 8 when I first joined the Junior Bairns, and if I was maybe even younger. She's been a phenomenon and deserves every bit of credit that she gets.
They're also drawing out 9 names to walk the players out on the last game of the season versus Alloa as well, so that's good. Fingers crossed my name gets drawn out. I'm still hard.
It still leaves a space for you.
Do you know what? There's 2 spaces left then, so there we go. And Big Tom. Oh, no, Tom's going to be injured, isn't he? So
he doesn't need to hold Cole's hand.
I'll hold Cole's hand instead, or Big Hendo. Anyone's fine. So yeah, I'm still holding, fingers crossed. I've said it all along, for all those kids that missed out on being a mascot as a Wayne, you know what I mean, there is an opportunity there.
There's a chance there. Yeah,
absolutely. That's happening on 8th of April, and obviously it's during the Easter holidays as well, so something for the kids to do. Aki's tickets selling fast, Roscoe.
Yes, that's by the looks of things. It's obviously hard to tell. I'm not going to sit and count them all, but it looks like there's a good sort of 900 to 1,000 already sold for next Saturday. So that, I'm sure that'll ramp up this week as well. And the club literally put out a tweet a couple hours ago. This is obviously Sunday the 7th. The club put a tweet out earlier saying that there's less than 100 tickets left for the main stand, and there's about 800 left in the north stand for the Alloa game, last game of the season, trophy day. So realistically, that's going to sell out in the next couple of weeks as well, which is fantastic. And the only other bit of ticket information is that Annan, which is our last away game of the season on the 27th of April, tickets are on sale for that one. I don't know how big a crowd will go down to Annan, because obviously...
You got your ticket, because the Annan were very... By the way, Annan were very, very smart in the fact that they put the tickets on sale way before 1 week, so a lot of people went and snapped up thinking that that could potentially be the day that we win the league before Hamilton kind of fell off a cliff. So you've got your ticket, haven't you?
Yeah, sorry for that one. I think that by the sounds of it, there'll be another good number of Bairns going down. Don't know if it'll sell out or not. I think the away end holds about 1,000, so you never know, it could do. So if you are intending to travel down and it's a long way to go, get your ticket ASAP.
I mean, it'd be amazing. Trophy day at the stadium. You know, I think we'll get. We'll sell that out. I think there'll be 7,000 people in for that. That'll be incredible. Mm-hmm. First time we've had a sellout. Did we have a sellout the air game? I don't think it was sold out. But
no, the air game wasn't sold out, and the Accies games that we've had this season, I think we've peaked at about 5,700 home fans. However, if there is only 850 left. We're probably already over 6,000 Falkirk fans already going to the game, so we've smashed that. And yeah, it would be brilliant if we could fill three sides of the stadium.
And just imagine if we are going for that invincible, you know, on that day and lifting the trophy. It'll be an incredible day, so it'll be really good. And of course, great weekend, because we'll be doing Falkirk Daft Live behind the wall the night before as well. So it should be an absolutely cracking way to end the season. The Falkirk Football Golf Day, if you like your golf, 18th of April. Do you play golf, Ross?
I have done. I used to play all the time when I was younger, but it kind of fell by the wayside. Because I remember thinking, I'm going to have to choose here. Do I go and play golf regularly on a Saturday, or have football and away days? And then family came along, and then having to mix everything up. So no, I probably not played as much as I used to. I was a keen golfer when I was a teenager, but not so much.
There you go. Well, why don't you get along? And get teams are still available. Tam McManus, who we've had obviously on the podcast, go and check that out in the archives if you haven't. Tam gave us some great chats, some brilliant stories. Yeah. That's on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel as well. Tam McManus is going to be there. Been a Q&A. All the first team players are going to be there as well. It's £495 for a group of four, and that gets you a breakfast roll, a two-course lunch, and there's prizes to be won on the day. So if you're a keen golfer, why not get involved in the golf day? Again, all the money will go into the club. I think it's the academy this goes into as well, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. It could be. I know if anyone's interested, get in touch with Graham Carbis, because he's. I think there is only a team or two left. So the first team players will be there, so there'll be some good crack on the day. And as we know, Tam McManus is a keen golfer as well, so he'll get some banter.
Get some crack. Other things going on, Bairns Business Club, Sportsman Lunch. I know you've been to a few of these, Ross.
Yep, really good afternoons. So that one's on the 17th of May at 12 o'clock. Lee Park Hotel, good venue, if I'm being honest, for these sportsmen's lunches over the years. Some good speakers this year as well was Peter Brown, who is no stranger to the after dinner circuit, but he's a Falkirk fan as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, big Falkirk fan as well. We've also got another Falkirk fan in there, Les Montgomery, who previously was the CEO of Highland Spring. So he's coming along to deliver some speech as well. And Jamie Swinney will be talking on the day too. And you never know. I wonder if Jamie may take along a bit of silverware on the day. So it could be a wee photo opportunity.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's a brilliant day, £50 a head. All the money that the business club raise, they then give back to the club in the form of projects. So previously, they've...
It was fencing and things around the stadium.
Yeah, they've done loads of stuff, mate. They've different projects. One of the more recent ones is with the new pitch going down, it needed like 15 grand worth of pitch machinery to keep it right. Mm-hmm. So they bought that for the club. What else have they done previously? At the stadium, this sounds a bit random, and you'd think, oh, well, surely that's common. But for years and years, Falkirk didn't actually do their own laundry. They used to take the kit man, who, not Chris who's coming on, but previous kit man, they used to have to go down to a laundrette, believe it or not. I think it was in Grangemouth. And they would take the training kit, the strips and everything, go there. But a few years ago, they bought these industrial washing machines and dryers and stuff. So that's all done in-house now, and it saves the club an absolute fortune and in time as well. So
they don't just get the players to take, like, old school, you know what I mean? When you used to play at Cubs and all that, take your own kit home, get it washed, bring it back in, you know, for goodness sake. Footballers don't know they were born these days, I'll tell you. Anyway, shout out as well. Pablo has been in touch. Paul Robertson, if he's listening. He's been in touch, reaching out. He's looking for Falkirk fans for a project that he's putting together. He's seeking personal stories from this season. Obviously with the hope that we could go invincible. It has been, you know, even if we don't go invincible, it's been an incredible season when you look back at, like, we were just talking about it yesterday, 20 goals in four games. It's just been Absolutely amazing. But he's wanting to, he's reaching out for supporters. He said things that maybe happened on the waiting matches, meeting players, stuff that's happened in your life around this season. He's looking for basically stories. He's putting together something a bit special for this season. So if you have got a story about this season, something you want to share with Pablo, like you say, he's putting together this project, please drop him an email and we'll put the details in the biog as well. PabloRobo@hotmail.com. PabloRobo@hotmail.com. He needs them for April 21st because he's compiling all these stories together. He's going to make something off this season, and I think it'll be really, really nice if it comes off. So get in touch with Pablo. He's well known around the club. He's been on podcast actually a couple of times, Pablo. Yes. So get in touch with him and all details will blow. It could be a very special season. It'd be great to share your memories with Pablo as well. And talking about memories, we're going to create some at the end of season party. It is happening on the 3rd of May behind the wall. Hopefully you've managed to get tickets. The amount of people have been coming up and saying, can I get a ticket? And I've had to say no, because we're actually up to capacity. We were in behind the wall before the match yesterday, you and me, Ross. I was like, oh my God, are we going to get 200 people in here? It's going to be an absolute rammy. But I think it'll be a good rammy.
Yeah, and if it's half as good as behind the wall was last Saturday night, then we've won a watch. But yeah, it's just gonna be amazing, mate. What a start to that weekend it's gonna be. So
if you have got a ticket, we're insisting on you wearing a retro top, pick out an old top that you've got, or even if you've got the current one, want everyone in their Falkirk tops on, scarves out, and we're just going to have a laugh on the night. Q&A with some of the first team players. We're still waiting to find out who we're getting along. Sam McGivern's going to be with us. We're going to review the season and giving the Falkirk Daft Player of the Year will be getting dished out that year and goal of the season. There'll be competitions on the night. We've got a couple of things up our sleeves, so we'd love to. Can't wait to see you all there. Like I say, it's completely sold out, and it really freaked me out yesterday when I went for a pee in behind the wall, and I just saw our poster up in the toilet, and it was just like sold out, and I was just like, that's mental. So again, thanks to everyone that's coming along. We're really looking forward to the night, and we'll have to put together a show now. I'm sure it'll all be fine.
It will.
It'll all be good. Something to look forward to. Anyway, so that's the end of season party. Before we get on to a very special guest which we've got on Falkirk Daft today, we're going to be speaking to Kitman Chris McGill just in a minute. I've got a final bit of correspondence from Denon Lewis. Now, I've seen a lot of things on the YouTube channel and comments on Facebook as well about poor Denon, and we've got a message from him here. Are you ready for this? He says,
hey, go.
Hi, guys. I'm just writing one last time to let you know that my psychiatrist has now brought me out of 5 months of hypnosis therapy, and it turns out I am not the real Denon Lewis after all. It's an absolute curveball here, a plot twist, likened to the seventh, sixth sense, even. He says, my actual name is Brandon, and I have been told that I have the best catchphrase in South Lancashire. Fucking clip that. Apparently, I say every time that Falkirk score a goal, it has become the most used catchphrase in the whole of Scotland. Up you hell rat. Love, Brandon. So there you go. All this time we were wondering who Denon Lewis was, and it was Brandon after all. I've loved Denon Lewis's correspondence. I know not everyone's a fan of it. I think it's been great and very inventive as well. So I don't know who you are. Please approach us at some point. Denon, I'd love to know who you are and shake your hand, because it's kept me entertained, if not everybody else. But there you go. Thank you very much, Denon, for getting in touch, and best of luck at Woking for the rest of the season. Right, okay, now I said today we're going to get a special guest on. You all know, as a football supporter, I love to know what goes on behind the scenes.
That's the best, isn't it? Because you just get the best stories and things that you don't think you'd ever hear.
I'd love to hear the tea lady, the bus driver, all that sort of stuff. So we thought we'd invite the Falkirk FC kit man onto the show, and we'll get a wee bit of insight into what a kit man, like, I don't know what a kit man does. I honestly, apart from putting out the kit, what else do they do? So please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Chris McGill.
Hey buddy.
Hello, John. Hi Ross, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, mate. Really, really appreciate it. Like, how long have you been doing the role now?
So this is my second season. So I worked for the foundation for 10 years. So I was, believe it or not, I was actually offered the kit man role a good few years ago. And I turned it down because I was just kind of going down a different path.
Yeah.
We work at the foundation, but now I'd wished I'd took it years ago. Probably the best job ever.
Yeah, but you're a Falkirk supporter, Chris, aren't you? So, I mean, what a dream come true. You actually work for the club you support. How long have you been? What was your first game? We'll ask all our pundits, so we might as well ask you, what was your first game?
You know, I can't remember. I remember going back. My uncle used to take me to the games. My family have no interest in football whatsoever. Right. So, like, my uncle took me to the games, and he took me back to the Brockville days. So I can't even remember. The one that sticks with me is the 4-0 against Hearts.
I remember it well.
Aye, Colin Samuel, unbelievable. Sitting up the street end and he's running over and celebrating just in front of me. I can remember way back to when we used to go and play Clyde at Broadwood, and I think it was Brett Halliwell in goals, I think. But I couldn't tell you my first game. I can remember Crunchy playing and stuff like that, but I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah, and what about your favourite player now? This is going to be hard because you can't say any first team players at the moment because you obviously work beside them, but who's your favourite player of all time?
It's got to be Russell Love Muscle, Russell Latte. Oh. Wow, what a player.
Right, out with the Holy Trinity though, Chris, who's your favourite player?
I have to answer that because I'm getting bothered with the boys in the at work, Kelly. you know, it's a hard one. Like, that's my player. Anthony Stokes, brilliant. But I just felt I think Russell Latapy just tapped it off for him. Like, what he was just to do in the pitch for Anthony Stokes was brilliant.
Yeah. Complimented each other well, didn't they? Absolutely. Chris, as George said, listen, honestly, so thank you so much for coming on. And we do have like a thousand questions that we probably want to ask you. Some you'll be horrified with, probably from John, in terms of like Tam Lang's pants or something like that.
Do you get that? There's a good question. I mean, do you deal with Tam Lang's underwear at any point? And if so, can you get me?
Well, I hear about your restraining order, so
I know.
I don't know if Tam will be that happy if I pass him on right enough, but I'm going to say no to that question.
Right. Understandable.
Yeah, luxury washing them, aye.
Listen, John will wash them for you just for one. He'll give you them back the next week.
So what does it like? So we probably, I think, match day, Chris. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're basically, you get the kits laid out, you deal with all that. What else do you do on a match day then?
So, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm pretty chilled out on a match day. I've got it all done kind of night before.
Right.
Regardless of the away game or home, but it's usually done on the Friday after the boys have finished. So I just kind of come in and relax. So yeah, I would obviously have all the kits set up the night before. And if I've got any training weight to wash from the previous day, I would go in and do that. I tend to come in super early. I'm far too organised for one good. A match day, it's pretty chilled out for me. To be fair, so's training days. I tend to come in and kind of make the cups of tea for the boys and that all the time.
Who's the biggest diva when it comes to tea? Does somebody go throw it back in your face and go, listen, that's not the right kind of...
Believe it or not, yesterday, Ethan Ross caned me. He says my tea-making skills were awful.
And I says, oh, really?
I says, what's wrong with my tea? Like, he's not strong enough. I says, well, just tell me then.
Oh, listen, don't take that. I have to say, in a tea-based story, Charlotte, I made tea for, like, because being a radio producer, I've had to make tea for countless amount. I'm in basically Gordon DL's coffee boy, right? I did make a cup of tea for Charlotte Church once, and she said it's the best cup of tea she's ever had. There you go.
There you go. That is a claim to fame, John.
That is a claim to
Is it on your CV?
fame there. I should put it on the CV, but there you go. So Ethan Ross is caning you for your tea, Chris. That's shocking behaviour.
Yeah, he's
Diva
caned me for
behaviour.
it. I can kind of like McGinn takes a wee bit of milk. Leighton's just like he's either tea or coffee, but I can never get the sugars right, so he's constantly caning me for that and all.
How many? Who takes the most sugars?
Jordan Allen.
Jordan Allen, how many does he have? Like?
I'm not going to disclose that. You'll be embarrassed for that. You'll be embarrassed for that.
Any more than three, he needs his hard drive checked, doesn't he?
Oh my, yeah. I'm going to say no further than that. To be fair, I can't say nothing either because I'm quite bad with sugar and all.
This is the gossip that we want here, Chris and Falkirk Daft. How many sugars do they have in their tea? Getting all the big questions in there. So you do that the night before. What does like a non-match day involve then, Chris, for you?
So the training weeks, so like the boys, it's we train Monday, Tuesday, off a Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday. So for me, I kind of get a lot of my work done after training's finished. So once training's finished, I just kind of collect all the kit and then obviously go and wash it and put it back out again. And that's what leads me to come in the morning, and I'm pretty chilled out. It's maybe just the management stuff that I'll need to wash because they tend to be the last ones to leave.
Right, okay, because yeah, I can imagine John and Paul and the coaches probably take that bit of time in the afternoon once the guys are away to get set up for tomorrow.
Do you have to wash the caps?
Nah, I don't know. No. Smudger's, I don't know how many times he comes up mass me for the cap. Constantly losing it, that laddie.
He loses his caps, does he?
All the time. To be fair, it's I don't know how many caps he's been through this season so far.
Chris,
Gaffer's on it.
what's the chances of them you not giving them one of their nails ones and getting them one of these champions ones that they've just
Oh
advertised in the
my.
shop?
The gaffer was wearing it, the gaffer and Smudger were wearing it. I don't know. Maybe on the final day, fingers crossed.
Good idea. That is a good shout. That's a good shout.
Absolutely, absolutely. How many shirts does each player have, Chris?
Yeah, so they technically have three. So you'll tend to see that the sponsors ones, they're obviously match worn, so they tend to go at the start of the season. So like now they'll be away to go and get framed for the sponsorship night. So they tend to have three shirts all together. They have sorry, aye, so they've got three shirts, they've got two, they've got obviously one, their main one, and then they've got a backup one. The guys tend to there's to be fair, everybody's always wore their backup one at some point because it's like rain or whatever. I do encourage it, and so does the manager to encourage them to change over at half time, full kit. But there is individuals in the squad that just change at half time every week.
Oh, that's like is that like a superstition thing, Chris?
I don't know if it's a superstition type thing because, like, I'll maybe put two tops out for them, but they don't always tend to wear them. Like, for example, yesterday, Nizzy normally only wears one top, but half time he decided to change, so he gives a shout, say, I need another top. So I wouldn't say it's a superstitious type thing. It's just whatever they feel comfortable.
Yeah. Is there any superstitions in the team, like as somebody's got to make sure they look the same pair of socks if they've had a good game the week before, that type of thing?
Callum Morrison, yeah, he's a he likes his sweeties, so he's got to stick to his same sweeties. Ross McKeever, so here's a plug for my socks, right? So Ross McKeever was wearing CM grips for the start of the season, and he was so inconsistently. He then got that hole in his sock, right in the toe, and he wore it for the he got the hole in the sock for the Annan game, and he scored in that game. So Smudger calls me at half time. He says, Chris, you hate going changes, seeing grips for him. She's right, no bother. Like, I've not got any women, but we'll sort it for next week. So they be changed them and he stopped scoring. So I says to Ross, Mum will bin them, I'll give you another fresh pair. I've given the fresh pair and he's back scoring again.
Oh, superb.
There you go. That does work then.
Love it. And by the way, I noticed yesterday as well, and I don't know if I've seen a few people. Hendo had cut, there was like a big massive hole in the back of Hendo's socks. Is this like, what is this all about? Because I think I've seen a few footballers with that.
I think they just want to be like Jude Bellingham, to be fair, but Hendo's as good, if no better. But
well, yeah.
To be fair, I think it's more the tension on their calves, or so right. They say it. The Navy, Ryan Shanley, Liam Henderson, and Sean Mackey all do it. And it seems to be all the Edinburgh boys, surprise, surprise. But you'll see on their socks right at the bottom, I've got their numbers in the bottom of the socks, so they get them every week.
Do you have to cut the holes, Chris, or do they do it themselves?
Nah, I've got to cut them, so it tends to be standing on a seat and then they tell me exactly where they want me to cut.
I love this. Love this.
See, in terms of obviously that shirts and socks, Chris, but in terms of like players' boots, you obviously see, and I know it's probably different at Falkirk than it is to like English Premier League, but you see these English Premier League players who they go through like two pairs of boots every game. What's it like at our level? Do the players just have a pair of boots and that'll last them for so many games, or how does it work?
Nah, just they've obviously got the preferable boots, so they'll tend to have. They tend to have three, so they'll have their one for the match day, one for training, and just a backup pair, or saying metal studs for playing on grass or whatever. But yeah, it's no very often. Like, they all kind of stick to the same boots. If they're wearing them in, they tend to go back and forth. So you might see, like, for example, Stirling, like, it's a grass pitch, so you'll see a lot of the boys, they'll go out with their metal studs, and then they'll find it's, the pitch is quite soft, and then they'll change back to their preferred boot, which seems to be the Mouldies.
I guess it'll be different next season because there's a lot more grass pitches up in the Championship as well, so I'll be interested to see what happens. Have you ever turned up for an away match, Chris, and you went, ah, oh, shite, I've forgotten this, right, what was it?
Right, so it's only ever happened to me once, like, and touch wood, it never happens again. So it was actually Stirling. We've turned up, and obviously we've got the three goalie tops, and we were wearing blue that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got everything set up. Me and Jack have got everything set up, and I've no thought anything of it. And it wasn't until like the boys have started to come in. So we normally get to an away game, like, 2 hours before the boys do. And so Nicky comes in, he went, are we wearing mix and match strips today, Chris? So what do you mean? Are you packed the blue shorts but the pink top? I'm like, you're joking me. And I went over and I'm like, do you know what? I could get away with it. I know the kit man, the cat at Stirling, he used to be the kit man at Falkirk. Great guy. And I could have got away with it and just said, look, could we play in the pink? But I didn't. I came out and I've just said to the manager, I was like, Gaffer, I need to go back to Falkirk. He said, what is it? She's a, I've made a pink tee of the goalie tops. And he was like, well, he says, I've been in this game for long enough. Why do you not just phone Jamie Swinney to bring them along? I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. It ended all good for me, to be fair. But Gaffer's, what a man.
But would that be a massive issue? Like, or would that be a huge issue? Would the referee turn around and say you can't wear that? Or
No. Like, I could go up and make the referee aware that we've got a slightly different goalie top. I think if it was a bit more in contrast, I think the pink I would get away with the red of Stirling.
Yeah.
But we've had it a few times at home games, so. With the kits, they're normally confirmed on the Wednesday. It gets sent away to the referee and they go for approval to make sure they're happy with it. And you get the wee cards and stuff. And I probably could have got away with it. I could have probably said to the ref, look, we're wearing pink today, is that all right? I've got spare shorts and socks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we could have probably got away with it if I really needed to.
Yeah, interesting. Any plans to wear the heritage top again this season, Chris?
Yeah, so we're going to wear that at the Celtic game.
Ah, right. Because it's an absolute cracking strip. Obviously, Crunchy Carrots and Scott and all the boys put woes into the car, but the fact that it's not got that sponsor, it just makes that wee bit extra special, you know?
Yeah, and you've got the John De Graham stuff on the back. Mm, and
yeah.
It makes it a bit more like the Falkirk feel.
Yeah.
And something special.
No, it definitely is. And Chris, I think John has a request. Obviously, I don't know if you know this, but the podcast sponsor, Tam Lang's Heritage Top. So I'm going to speak for John. He doesn't want you to wash it. Actually, he's not going to be playing, is he? He's not going to be playing in it, unfortunately.
That's true,
Tam has to wear it for a week and then give it to
him. Here we are, Tam. Go and take that up the road and wear it in bed, pal.
What, do you know what? Let's ask you this, Chris, because you're obviously a Falkirk supporter. You're now the kit man. What's your favourite Falkirk top?
I've always been a big fan of the white and gold that we wore in the Scottish Cup final.
Right,
I'm a massive fan of that top. I love that top. I just like the contrast of the white and gold.
Yeah, that was
is a crack. Is there any gold planned for next year's strips, Chris? We may as well ask you what you're on.
Oh, I just tell you nothing.
So you know it's fine. Well, there is. I can tell.
But there's a question for you, though. Do the kit man get an input, or do you just get given whatever? Do O'Neill say come to you and say, "What do you think of this?" Or do you get to see some designs and you have a wee bit of an influence into it?
Nah, not really. It's more. I would say more Jamie Swinney, the board and stuff like that. I've kind of got a say on regards to like material. The material of the warm-up kit this year was excellent. So that's the material that we've kind of decided to go with this year, which you can add a kind of bit more pattern. That's not included in the match kit. It's just the training one. But they can kind of add and change patterns and stuff like that. And like I have to say that the training kit this year is unbelievable. Really, really smart.
Yeah, no, I do like it, actually. We might have to chin you for some freebies, Chris. In fact, talking of which, is Ross Wayne not... He's obviously a kit collector. I'm surprised he's not been tapping you up yet, Chris.
No, I have never approached Chris yet for anything.
Back to the kit's going to be at the academy this year, but I'm sure I can maybe ask Tony if he'll lend me a couple of tops.
There you go. Yeah. Do you have I guess you've got a lot of Falkirk supporting mates, Chris. Do you have and obviously supporters as well, sort of chin you go, what are the chances of getting a match worn kit?
Yeah, all the time. Even just walking up to the dugout at the start of the games and the wee kids at the side of the tunnel, they're great. End of the game. Oh, can I have that top? Can I have the gloves? Can I just have anything? I'm really sorry, I can't.
God loves a tire, love it.
The kids are class, like they're absolutely brilliant. Just some of the stuff they're coming out with. It's got to the stage that Sam starts giving me his gloves because they ask him them every week.
Obviously, John and I see the sort of the armband situation because the kids are at the front and desperate for them. Any adults been approaching you for an armband as well, Chris?
I've had a good few. I'm down to my last like five for the games and stuff like that. But I actually think the adults are worse than kids. Unbelievable. But I'll tell you this, guys, the incentive that you've done with the armbands has been excellent this year. I just feel like it's added that connection as well to the players and the fans. Well, it's been first class.
Yeah, it's definitely been something we're really proud of on this podcast. It's been great, and I'll continue with our Bret the Hitman Hart analogy until someone jumps. Are you a wrestling fan, Chris?
I know who Bret Man Hitman Hart.
Thank you. That is enough for me. You know what I'm talking about, then. Brilliant. Listen, what's been your highlight of the season then so far as Kitman? and being in that dugout, and you know, because you're in that dugout, and the experience of being in that dugout week in, week out, what's been your highlight of the season so far?
It's got to be winning the league. Just, I know it's plain old and boring, but just, I think from goals point of view, Tom Lang's against Annan, wow.
Aye.
And calls as well, can't remember who it was, but that rocket. That just
was that the Alawa home game, I think?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So from where you're standing at the bench, you just kind of see it going into that top corner and you're like, wow. So I stand back. Cal Morrison will maybe kill me for saying this, but two of the best goals we've scored this season being centre-half. So
I know. But I mean, it must be like, as a Falkirk supporter, just on a match day and standing in that dugout, especially in a season like this, it must be really, really special.
Yeah, it's honestly the manager says it every week in his interview in regards to the fans. Fans have been electric this year. Even just standing down at the dugout, and I can feel the hairs going up in the back of my neck. It's the atmosphere in that stadium is different class. It's just brilliant. And from a Falkirk fan, you've got to turn around and stun. You look at the crowd sometimes, you go, wow. And it reminds me back to when we played Hibs in the playoffs and we beat Rangers and stuff. It's just electric.
Even the noise yesterday, Chris, there was points, even at the beginning of the game when the team came out, and obviously they got a guard of honour and stuff, which was really nice of Paul Hartley. With the team coming out though, like seeing the full crowd singing champion, I thought that was brilliant yesterday.
See, I don't get that luxury of hearing all that. Like, I don't get to see it in the Teflon and the pylon, the pyros and stuff. I don't get to see that because as soon as the boys go out, that's when my work starts. It's actually a running joke with the likes of Ian Kerr and Kenny Stoddart standing in the tunnel. So Falkirk always seem to score when I'm not there. So at the start of the game, I'm kind of down at the laundry doing the work, and then I'll come out and watch a good bit of the game, and then I've got to go back down to the laundry to change it over and put it into the dryers. And I've seen myself walking down, and Ian's like, "Chris, hold on, we've got a free kick in the edge of the box. Just stand there." So the amount of goals that I've missed this season, I actually the Montrose game just there, the 7-1. I seen one goal.
Wow,
gutted.
Oh man,
Chris, you're just reminding me
something. But wow.
Chris, you're just reminding me, sir. Do you still have, I don't know if the Falkirk Stadium's got it, I don't think we do, but is there still stadiums that have like a big bath that the players all use?
Nah.
Really, not now?
Nah.
Unhygienic.
What's that? No. The changing rooms, some of them are just so small, it's so tight. I've not had the luxury of going to Brechin, but I've heard that's quite tight.
Well, I mean, that's the good thing about going up to the Championship next season is, Chris, the dressing rooms will be... And you'll get to go to Hampden as well. You'll be in the Hampden changing room next season.
We went to Hampden last season. I was there.
Of course you did.
That was brilliant. Yeah. Amazing. I actually kind of thought I was a bit underwhelmed when I went to Hampden, just when I went to Scotland dressing room. And, you know, like, they've got the cupboards you need to put the kit in. And I was just like... Could do away with the cupboards and your body was just an open ducat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So obviously you mentioned Brechin's meant to be tight and there's some really small ones. Is Falkirk one of the better ones that you've come across then in terms of your time?
Yeah, so you'll tend to find a lot of the kitmen actually enjoy coming to Falkirk because of the amount of space they've got to work in. To be fair, I'm quite overloaded and far too prepared at times, so we actually take four hampers with us and a load of kind of boxes with rain jackets and stuff in it. So it's actually quite bad. What I take with us, I'm always prepared in regards to if the player needs anything. But Kelly Harps is really, really small, really tight. Annan's is really tight. But the likes of Hamilton coming up this weekend, great dressing room. Airdrie's is really good. Coves is actually okay. So I think probably, so when we're in the changing rooms, we actually tend to work out of the showers because we need to put everyone in the showers.
Right.
And right, okay.
When half time comes, we need to clear it all out. So that's why I tend to miss a lot of the Falkirk goals every time.
Oh, mate, well, fingers crossed, Chris, you'll get to see a few goals before the season's out. But listen, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you coming on. It's honestly, I love see getting an insight into all this side of things. Absolutely love it. But let's just go back to the main point of Tam Lang's underwear. Yar's going to save me some for the end of the season, yeah?
Nah, I'm not gonna involve this restraining order.
You don't want to break the law. I understand, Chris. Listen, Chris McGill, it's been a pleasure to speak to you, mate. Doing a fantastic job. And long may it continue. Chris, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft.
Thanks very much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Love that, Ross. Love the chat for Chris. I love all that insight stuff.
No, it's brilliant, isn't it?
And what about Jordan Allen, all those sugars he takes in his tea? Yeah?
What are you thinking? I'm thinking he's 3 or 4.
I'm thinking 5 or 6. I've seen excessive sugars drinkers before, you know, and
yeah. And Jordan Allen's one of them.
I think so. But no, I love it. Thanks for Chris for coming on. Focus that. Right, well, we talk about the match now. Yeah, let's do that. And let's do it in the company of our guest pundit this week. You'll have seen her pictures all over our socials and all over various platforms. It's Ashley Maitland.
Hello, guys. You all right?
Hey, Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. Before we get into Falkirk and all that sort of stuff, photos are amazing. Love all your match day photos. How did you get into photography and all that side of things?
So it was a few years ago. It was just during COVID, I would go out, just got a camera from one of my friends at work, and I went out and just started doing landscape. So a lot of it was through at the Helix. So I started there, and a lot of that just came from landscape. And then I don't know where I caught the bug. I think I just went to an under 18s game, and I thought I might try this and see.
Yeah,
I think I went to the under 18s game and my photos were just dreadful to start with. They were really bad. It didn't show the under 18s in a good light, I can tell you that for sure.
Was it a timing thing, Ashley, or initially was it? Because it must be, you must have to like be quite intuitive as to when you're going to.
You do, you've got to be like really intuitive and like, although you're watching the game at the same time, you've still got to like time it right.
Yeah,
I've got to get that pivotal moment. So I think that was where I was missing it. It was good. That's how I got into it. And then I thought, oh, obviously Falkirk's my team. I could maybe come back and do a few more. So I did a couple of women's games and then gradually got better from that. And then I'm trying to think back when I first did a Falkirk game. It's not been for long. I would need to look back and see what Falkirk game I did. But from then on, I just caught a bug.
Brilliant.
Now it's got to the point where I'll just message and they're like, you're already on the list. We expect you. So it's quite good that way. You know. So yeah, it's been good. That's good. So I caught a bug from it. And now I'm doing other games as well in the Premiership and Championship, so it's good. It's good that way. Get to see a lot of different games.
Fantastic, Ashley. Well, I'm glad you've been able to, you know, turn this passion you've come across, and hopefully you can start making a living out of it as well.
Well, I don't know if I want to make a living out of it.
Just fun.
I think it's one of the things where it's my enjoyment. So I like going to the football, I like getting, you know, the banter and stuff like that, and then sitting on the sidelines and seeing the big moments, like, as they happen, and taking the pictures as they happen. Like, I think that's the best thing for Falkirk this season. Like, they've had a lot of big moments where you can say,
yeah,
wow, that's going to make a good memory for someone, or for me, or like my family, whoever. That's why I like posting them and stuff as well. I like people to see them and say, oh, that's me sitting there with my son, or that's me, enjoying that game. But I think there's just been too many enjoyable games this season It's
never a bad thing. Never a bad
thing.
It's
never a bad thing, is it? It's a good thing. I don't want to say it's been too easy, but for me, photo-wise, it probably has. It's been a bit more of a joy to do it. And it just makes it fun, especially seeing the fans the way they are and like the ultras and stuff. They make some great photos. Such an atmosphere, and it's like capturing that atmosphere, that's probably the best part of it.
Great. And like I say, what a special season to be taking pictures in as well, Ashley. So,
absolutely.
But let's get you obviously a Falkirk supporter, near the trackie, the old trackie that's just been put out. I tried to go on the website and didn't realise it's all sold out now. The trackie tops and the tops are all gone now.
They're coming back in though, John. They're coming back in.
Are they coming back in?
Jamie Swinney had let us know they're coming back in. I don't know, I assume before the end of the season. So
I think it's another couple of weeks they're waiting. Right. So yeah, it will be probably a couple
I'll be keeping my eyes out, so because I want to definitely get the away top. But Ashley, who is your favourite all-time Falkirk player?
So I started watching Falkirk when I was about 6 or 7. So obviously my favourite Falkirk player is going to be Russell Latapy.
Yeah.
That guy's just...
If Russell Latapy wasn't on the option, though, because we always like to put the caveat of not out the out with the Holy Trinity, who would it be?
Scott Arfield.
Scotty Arf.
Yep, definitely. Nice. He was just a different class player at the time, wasn't he? He was a young guy, just liked to go out and have a run about. But he had some great players around him to go further in his career, which was great to see as well. It was a great squad. Pedro Montillo, you had obviously Yogi Hughes as manager and things. It was just, it was a great time to be a Falkirk fan as well. So
it'd be amazing to see Scott Arfield back at Falkirk in some way before the retire. So that would be good.
We've actually been speaking about that, thinking, will he come back, just for maybe a few games and finish his career at Falkirk? It would be nice.
So let's talk about yesterday's game then, and it was Falkirk 5, Cove 1. 20 goals, like I said, in 4 games. That's 13 goals in 2 games. Unbelievable stuff. I've never known the likes. Cole Donaldson, Callum Morrison, Ross McKeever, Dylan Tate and Alfie Agyeman all on the score sheet. 2 changes from last week. We had Nicky Hogarth because it's the month of April now, so we now need to change the goalkeeper again. He was in for Sam Long and Calvin Miller. Surprisingly, after the pictures you saw of Calvin Miller out on the sauce pretty much all week, came in for Ethan Ross, who obviously scored last week as well. Any other changes you guys would have made, or was that kind of enough?
I think, obviously, with the Nicky situation, we knew he'd be coming in. I was shocked to see Ethan Ross not start. I thought he deserved another start. Nothing against Calvin Miller. Listen, Calvin Miller has been tremendous this year. And what a player, what a find for us as well. I don't know if I said this yesterday, John, but like one of our mutual pals is a bit of a stats geek. He was saying to me, like, Calvin Miller has scored more goals. Sorry, he's done more assists this year and scored more goals this year than he has done in his entire career. So that just shows you the difference he's made to us this year. Massive.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say, though, Calvin Miller did look like he was breathing out of his arse yesterday. I was calling him if he subbed off a lot quicker than he was. But, I want to say it again. You'll be a broken record. When is Alfie going to get a start?
Yeah, to be fair, like when he came on yesterday, he did make a big change to the game. He made a huge change to the game, and that goal was just unbelievable. Like,
he was unplayable when he came on yesterday. The big man. He was brilliant.
He did remind me a wee bit of Russell Latapy and that kind of stance that no player got against him. And when a player did come against him, it was just total fear. Like, the defence just totally collapsed at that point.
Some of his skill
on
that right wing and on that touchline were phenomenal yesterday.
We'll talk about Alfie a bit later on. But I mean, we didn't have to wait that long for a goal, and it was a short corner, Ross.
Indeed. Yeah, I know you've criticised the short corners quite a bit this season, John, but I think we had 2-1 game yesterday again.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
It was a really, really good set play between, I think it was McKeever and Spencer initially. Slide the ball out to Miller, who put the perfect cross in, even though in your words he was breathing out his arse. Brilliant cross in for Big Donaldson, wasn't it?
I know, it's a scary thing. That's Cole Donaldson's third goal of the season and his first one with his head.
There we go.
Scored a couple of absolute crackers apart from that.
Yes, he did.
Good header, Ashley.
Yeah, I thought it was a marvellous header. Like, for him, it just turned so quickly and just dunk right in the back of the net. I was like, yeah, that's a really, really good goal. From what I've seen from it, obviously, his back's to me, so I'm not seeing that front on. But, yeah, it was... Really, from what I've seen, it was just, yeah, he had the right, every right to run and celebrate like that because it was a absolute peach.
I mean, Ross, we've just scored so many early goals this season. It's been brilliant, isn't it? It's like, because suddenly, like, when you get that early goal, the pressure's yeah. immediately off, like we saw at Montrose last week.
That's it. We almost every game we've came like straight out of the traps. Like, I know it's a bit of a running joke where it's about like hospitality and stuff, but that's why I always go early goal for like first time in the first goal, because we've came like we're on it from the first kick, and we almost scored even before the goal yesterday. Do you remember? It was only a few seconds in, and I think Morrison was played through, so we could have scored within a bit, like Celtic did today. What was it, 20 seconds or something like that? We could have had like a 20-25 second goal yesterday. So just at the pace we are playing at, we are just unstoppable. We really are.
It really is. I mean, you talk about pace, we created loads of chances in between our two goals. You know, we had the Nesbitt and Morrison with the 1-2, and that ball, it just flashed across. There was no takers. My favourite bit of play, though, was when Nicky came out, got the ball, and what a delivery it was from Nicky. I, like, everyone just got up after the chance and applauded Nicky, because the delivery put out to, I think it was Calvin Miller, on the left wing, and then the ball just goes in, and Morrison was just a toe. That would have been an unbelievable one. Hats off to Nicky. It was a brilliant bit of distribution.
It really was. Yeah, he's passing. His passing's actually been very, very good all season.
Yeah.
Throwing or kicking, he's been really, really good. So that's never been a criticism of him at all. But he's how quick was his brain to see that, because there was a lot going on in front of him, because he'd literally just caught the ball from a free kick, I think it was, John.
Yeah, it was good to see Nicky back in, actually, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I like Nicky and I like Sam as well. I think they've both got their qualities, and it's nice to see that the team is rotating and the players want to play.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal, is that the players want to play. And I think yesterday that pass from Nicky was just, that was unbelievable. Like, I always say, like, you should have a football player that knows where the other player's going. And I think that was the decision yesterday. It was really clinical, and it was just so, so nice to watch. Like, so nice to watch that style of football, especially in League One. You don't see that style of football in League One. Like, that clinical thought that player's going to be running up that wing and I'm going to give him that ball. And as you say, John, it was so, like, that much off Calum's toe
I remember stood up yesterday and just applauding Nicky, and I think a lot of people did that as well, because it was really just brilliant bit of goalkeeping from him. And glad, you know, Nicky's just signed up for next season, hasn't he? So we've got
2 years. So,
So great to see Nicky's going to be with us. And like I say, I think we've talked about it, and I'm sure John McGlynn, we're going to need another goalkeeper presumably next season, because presumably Sam Wong is going back to down south. But, you know, I'd love to see an experienced goalkeeper. We've talked about that, getting an experienced keeper alongside Nicky, you know, to complement each other. So I'll be interested to see what, I'm sure John McGlynn is all over it, though. Second goal came as well. Can we talk about Dylan? Let's just talk and pause a minute for about Dylan Tate and Brad Spencer in that midfield, especially Dylan Tate yesterday. He was unbelievable.
Rolls Royce.
He controlled that game yesterday from start to finish, and we'll talk about his goal in a bit, but I thought he looked... I mean, I think since we've seen him coming in, you know, a brilliant bit of business done in January for that. Obviously, Hamilton, troublemaker, whatever he is. But in that Falkirk side, alongside Brad Spencer, now we thought we were going to miss Hendo because of his physicality, but Dylan Tate and Brad Spencer offer a wee bit, something a bit different, you know, and, you know, hats off to big Pirlo himself, Hendo. But there's a bit more dynamicism, if that's even a word, in that midfield with Tate alongside Spencer. They seem to complement each other very, very well. And he's been, you know, Brad Spencer for me, you know, very unlucky. He'll probably miss out in player of the season, but he's very unlucky to do so. But I thought Dylan Tate was wonderful yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. He was my man of the match. I said that when that goal went in, I was like, he is man of the match.
I think when they had the sponsors man of the match, and now we'll get Eddie Morris's goal, but I thought, you watch Dylan, you just seen Dylan Tate's goal and the way he's ran that football team today. Unbelievable.
I think Lee Miller gave him player of the match on Alba as well.
But listen, Morrison got man of the match, and let's talk. I was amazed at how much the left back of Cove stood off Callum Morrison yesterday. I'm like, he's the most dangerous player in that league, and they stood miles off him, and that's what ultimately led to his goal. You know, went out to the right, and as we know, he cuts in from the right, makes defenders look like shite, and in the back of the net, it was brilliant.
Fantastic strike. It was a typical Callum Morrison goal. Like, see if you could think about how Callum is going to score, it was that type of goal. As you said, John, it was set up by Dylan and Brad, who were just different gravy yesterday again. Going back to the whole Aki's thing, like, I know Aki's put out this nonsense about him not mixing well and he's a poor attitude and stuff. That I genuinely think that's just Aki's. That they're a toxic club just now, and it would not shock me if they've just put that out just because they're childish over him wanting to join Falkirk. So I know we'll talk about Aki's in a wee while, but I'd love a big score.
We said that the last time, you and the old Adebayor up the touchline, would be amazing. But yeah, you know, Callum Morrison obviously got his goal. He didn't, on a 7-1 game, he wasn't in the score sheet, so he was bound to have scored that. He must have been really, really keen to get the goal. Callum Morrison, good goal from him. And then, but Cove came obviously back into it. They got a goal. Nothing, again, corners have been a bit of an Achilles heel for the team. You know, over the last wee while, in set pieces, luckily we just go and score 5 goals. But going into the Championship, I think the last 2 seasons, you look back at the goals we've lost, and a big percentage all have come from set pieces, Ross.
Yeah, no, if we're gonna critique it properly, it was a really, really poor goal to lose. And when I watched it back as well, what was disappointing is there's about 3 or 4 players just all looking at each other, like no one took ownership for it. And I'm sure there's been an inquest about it, probably not a long inquest because we absolutely destroyed them. But they'll be, and you know, John McGlynn will be all over it. Like, come Monday morning and they're back in, he'll be all over that like a rash. But really poor goal to lose. I'm not actually sure who was meant to be picking up, because you had Donaldson, you had Mackey, I can't quite remember who the other person was. They all just looked at each other as they headed it in. I felt for Nicky. He was like properly exposed from it, because the guy bulleted that in from what, 4 or 5 yards. So not a lot Nicky could have done.
No.
It was a scramble, I think. It was just, you know, like it just kind of happened so quickly, and then scrambled, no time to get the ball back of the net.
It gave them a small lift for a period of time though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
certainly did. But in saying that, the first half we could have had, like you say, Ross, I mean, we could have had 6-7. There was so many chances. Mm-hmm. You know what? We forget that Morrison hit the bar as well, which should have been a great bar where he turned and hit it, and it came off the bar, and it was like, oh. But I mean, going in 2-0 at half, 2-1 at half time, you just didn't see them. I mean, I think obviously Cove looked like they were struggling with injuries. You know, I think they only got 3 or 4. And the fact that Burrell didn't even come off the bench, probably tells you a tale there as well. And Fraser Fivey looked like he was blowing out of his arse all game because, but yeah, when you went in at 2-1, you just thought, the game's done anyway. You know, we'll go on and score more.
Falkirk's a big pitch as well. I think a lot of the players have said that before. Players and pundits and stuff, they do talk about Falkirk Stadium, the size of the pitch, and we make them work now. The ball does an awful lot of the running. We took our chances when they came in the second half.
Straight off the bat, we Nesbitt, Tate and Spencer, that midfield combo, they played some delightful football in the middle of that park, and Cove just didn't know what to do with them yesterday, the three of them. Some brilliant little bits and neat bits of interchange between the three of them, which led actually to Leon McCann. And we're just hoping that wee Leon can get a goal before the end of the season, because he's the only outfield player not to have scored a goal yet. I don't think Morrison will be giving him many penalties, mind you. but Leon, he got the ball and he's driving forward and he hits an absolute perler from about 35 yards that just ruffled the side net. And at one point, everyone's like, oh!
It's in. I know, yeah.
I know. I really hope Leon can get a goal.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll get something. Do you know what was great yesterday? Because that wasn't his only opportunity to score, but it was almost like the players were like engineering it. They almost trying it on the score sheet. So, yeah, fingers crossed. He's got four games left. Do you know what? See, if it comes to the last game against Alloa, we'll just shove him up front with McKeever and Callum.
put him up a left winger on Calvin Miller. Stick Leon one up. Absolutely. Why not? Get him his goal.
Move Sean back. Sean Mackey back to left back, and Hendo slip in it.
There you go. And then put Calvin and put Leon in Calvin's position. Yeah. I'm sure.
So if John's listening. Just that's how we do it.
There you go. That's how we'll get Leon his goal. But
should do what Finn Yeats did. Calvin Morrison at Dundee United. He just kind of nicked the ball off Morrison and scored.
He did. That's true.
You maybe should just do that, I think. Just speak to Mr. Yeats and see how he did it.
Yeah. Third goal then comes along not long after that, actually. A good, really good team goal. Just, again, a top of the interchange in the play between the players as well. Tate and Yeats involved in it. Nesbitt involved in it. And it was... end up just being a tap-in for Big Ross, but he was there to do it, you know?
He was, and I think he's probably helped Calvin Miller's blushes a wee bit, because his header was not going in from about 2 yards out, was it? So it was good that Ross was there. But see, going taking it back a step, Nesbitt was really unlucky. Like, it was a really nice turn in the box, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And curls it, hits off the bar. Really unlucky, because Nesbitt did really well again yesterday. But as you say, Ross... right place, right time. 17 goals, 13 goals to go. four games left. Listen, he can still do it. He can do it.
The rate we're scoring at, you know, there's a very possibility he could do it. He could do it. But Ross seems to have found, Ashley, he seems to have found a wee bit more, like, I think that goal, or the two goals last week, would have done his confidence the world good. And like you say, we cannot criticise for Ross and the amount of effort he puts into the team. His hold-up play, we've talked about constantly about his ability in the air for not being the tallest of strikers, but you just feel that those two goals last week and that goal there on Saturday, he's just going to just confidence, you know, and who knows, Ross, he might get 30.
That would be the dream.
Are you backing Ross on this, Ashley?
Yeah, I think so. I think, obviously, a confidence list has been given to him. You know, like, he's just loving it. You can tell. After yesterday's goal, the celebration and stuff was just...
And let's not forget, he almost had two yesterday, because
that's right.
Half when he had that shot that just went past the post as well. So, yeah, as you said, John, in fact, the both of you have just said it, his confidence is sky high just now.
Here's a question for you, though. Is Ross McKeever a championship striker?
I think he would be a big asset in the championship, absolutely.
Do you think he's a first-teamer or a squad player in the championship?
Yep.
First team or squad, Ashley?
I think first team.
I think, like this year, I think the squad will play, the supposed bench will play as big a job next year as the starters. Because if you think about it this year, it has been a collective effort.
Is this a really nice way of saying squad player role?
No, listen, genuinely. No, John, I think consistency next year will be the key, right? I think he will play a ton of games next year. I think he will. Do I think he'll play every week? No, I don't, but he doesn't play every week just now. I think it'll be the same next year. I think continuity in the squad will be the same. Will he be first name in the team sheet? No, I don't think he will be. But I think he'll play his fair share of games next year. And I think he'll get, I don't want to say 30 goals in the championship, but do you know what? You could see him hitting double figures in the championship because he's a good, strong lad and he knows where the goals are.
No, absolutely. Then get goal number four, the pick of the bunch, and it was the man of the match for me, Dylan Tate. Another short corner routine that worked out, and I'm not going to mention anything else about short corners ever again on this podcast, but it was, what a strike it was, Ashley.
Yeah, it was a great strike, and you could just see that when he hit that ball, it was like, that's going to go in the back of the net. That's just the way he hit the ball and the confidence in it, and just It was so good to see that.
Have you watched it back on Alba yet?
Yeah.
Granted, I know there was a bit of wind, which is another statement for yesterday. Yeah. Right? But the how far out that thing swung into the back of the net was absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I know. And like you say, it was all over that game yesterday. Like that. I mean, I like to see the stats in terms of how many touches and how many, you know, like his heat map and all that sort of stuff. Because for me, Dylan Tate was everywhere. Yes, it's sad. Again, Brad Spencer as well. But brilliant, brilliant. And then we brought in three players, obviously. Ethan Ross, Aguiman and Shanley. Ryan Shanley still playing for a contract. I'll be interested to see what happens there. Obviously got his go against Montrose last week. You know, we'd have been hoping to impress yesterday. Alfie off the bench as well. Again, we'll talk about, I'm going back to it. Why is Alfie not getting a start? I mean, he came on yesterday and he was absolutely unplayable. He was unbelievable when he came on yesterday. I don't know if it's just because it's Callum Morrison, and we all know Callum Morrison will be keen as mustard to get to that, be the top scorer in the SPFL. Could you play him on the left, Ross? I don't know.
I actually think you could play Alfie, any of the three across the front. Imagine, I don't know if he's ever been played in the middle.
I'd like to see him up through the middle.
So would I. I think he'd be a big, strong lad. I'm not saying he'd win as many headers as maybe McKeever does, but in terms of actually getting the ball and being
holding the ball up,
running at goal, there's nothing scarier.
You must, as a defender in that league, you must think, if Alfie Aguiman comes on, you must shite yourself, because him running at you at full pace with the ability he has, you just go, oh my God.
You're not wrong, mate. I think, and that's maybe why he is maybe more effective as a sub, because players are knackered by the time he comes on. He gets 25, 30 minutes, and that is not a good prospect with half an hour to go.
I mean, I don't know if I'm right in saying this, Ashley, but maybe McGlynn does see him as an impact player more than a starter.
Yeah, maybe. But I think his performance yesterday, I think he probably should start next week. Like, if you play players like that and they've given a good performance, let them play a game and see how their performance level moves up, you know?
For the night behind the wall, I've been putting together a wee compilation that we're going to play on the night, and see the amount of goals that Alfie scored at the start of the season. And you know, you forget about that chip against Alloy. Was it against Alloy? He scored that beautiful. Was it Annan? He scored that wee chip. The goal against Edinburgh, that mental goal against Thistle where he fell on his arse, picked himself up, and absolutely roasted it in. I just hope for, you know, Alfie, for the club's sake, that Alfie's okay with the role that he plays, and that he wouldn't you know, he's not knocking on McGuinn's door and saying, why am I not getting a game? And that he continues to be part of that squad. Because, like I say, even in the Championship, Alfie Agyeman coming on against you as a, you know, you're playing left back, you know, you would go shit. You know what I mean? In the last half hour, 20 minutes, because he tries so hard, and his feet for, you know, it's a old cliche, his feet for a big man. I mean, you saw what he did down. I saw John McGuinn going, whoa, what is that?
That was literally right in front of me, and I'm like, I just put to the camera at the side and went,
yeah, you need to watch that. Exactly.
Did that happen? Did that just happen right in front of my eyes?
Magic. Unbelievable. But was, big, and I was delighted, absolutely delighted he got his goal. He deserved it for the effort. But I think his family were actually in front of us in the stand as well, because I saw him waving to them.
And I saw that as well. So he maybe has a wee extra kind of rocket up his bum there with family there. Maybe they're there all the time, I don't know. But he certainly absolutely loved the goal. And as you say, give him a wee wave as he scored as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he could have had a couple, to be fair, because he was all over the place when he came on.
He's going back to his goal though. Dylan Tate's ball
over
the top for him, it was beautiful. And Shanley probably was raging that Agyeman was there as well, because like Shanley might have got a goal, but
he thought he was going to make that. I thought he'd make the keeper as well, like when he came on initially, and I thought he's made the keeper, but it was just the keeper's managed to get it
when you watch that back, is there a hint of a penalty like that, because the defender's right up Alfie's backside?
Yeah,
that's not the right word to say, but the defender is right on his heel. And we'll edit that one out, John.
No.
The defender is right on his heel, and there's a slight clip, I think.
He could have had another penalty when he went down, rather than like when he was down there on the right hand side as well. And he just was too honest, and he squared the ball across as well. But I thought he was great when he came on. Ethan Ross as well. My jury's still a wee bit out for me and Shanley, but Ethan Ross is definitely a player, and again a player that he was obviously dropped out this in favour of Calvin Miller this week, but he just oozes class. I think he's a really classy footballer, you know, and great to watch. I've said it last week as well, he just drifts into space beautifully and just glides across that park. Great footballer to watch. Great footballer to watch. So 5-1 it was, Mr. Hartley. And by the way, hats off. We didn't mention it at the start, but in fairness to Paul Hartley, he did get involved in the Guard of Honour at the start. I don't know if you can see it in my background. He's there somewhere. However, I believe he scampered down the tunnel like a little rat at the end of the match. I don't know if he maybe did shake hands with John McGuinn. Missed. No,
when you watch it back on Alba, John, they focus on the tunnel, and he did. He did go down the tunnel, and then he came back up the tunnel. I actually, and I hate to say it because I'm not a fan of the man, as we know. I actually wonder if he was maybe told to get up the tunnel sharp because of the security situation. Because I don't know if you noticed, there's a copper right on his
side
as well. So he was maybe told, get yourself up the tunnel at full time. But...
or perhaps he smelled some cheese and scarfed away down the tunnel. I don't know. That's pure speculation. Listen, before we get into the supporters, before we get into hearing from Paul Smith, where's John McGuinn these days, by the way? He's just letting Paul do all the work these days. He's just like, fuck it, I'm done.
He's giving him a shot.
It's a rotation.
Mm-hmm. It's like Nicky and Sam. He's the rotator around now.
You take the press and...
I'll take the big boys, I'll take the BBC.
I would have been on BBC, but he's just like, all right, on you go and speak to the FOTV. But this is some stats from a friend of the podcast. Who's the friend of the podcast that sent us these, Ross?
He's asked to remain anonymous.
All right.
However, I know him, and he is a bit of a stats football geek.
Right. You can tell me after who it was. But here is some stats for you, all you statisticians. Where's Donald this week, by the way? Donald usually provides us these stats. Anyway, Donald, this guy might be showing you up here. We can go the season at Invincible, which has been an amazing and proper length season. It's only been done 3 times in Scotland. Rangers in 2013-14. League One, Celtic 2016-17, and Rangers in 2021. So we could be the first team outside the Old Firm to go invincible in Scotland.
How brilliant would that be?
That would be amazing. Cal Morrison is currently top scorer in Scotland, and Cal Moore top assist in Scotland, of course. If he scores 13 more goals in the last 4 games, that's a big ass, but we've done 20 in the last 4, so that's fine. That'll be 100 in the league, which is a nice number to achieve. We've scored 20 in the last 4, now 105 for the season all in. We only can see 31, which is mental, because it gives us a mad goal difference, which was like plus 66 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge.
2013-14, Rangers scored 106 league goals with an 88 plus goal difference. It's going to be hard to achieve. It got 102 points. If we get 20 goals in the next 4 to beat the record, we can only hit 96 points, but we'll see how it goes.
That's 5 goal a game average, and we're saying it's impossible, but we've just done it in the last 4 games.
That's true. We need to concede 0 goals in the next 4 to equal the league goals conceded record of Dunfermline, which was 21, which I think was set last season by that lot. So all these are doable. All these are doable, and then certainly looking ahead, the hardest game we've got is next week against Hamilton, but we'll get into that in just a minute. But first of all, let's hear from Mr. Smudger himself, Paul Smith.
Paul, 12 goals now in your last 2 games, another really dominant performance against what was, you know, 2 really difficult fixtures. You must be delighted.
Absolutely delighted. Obviously, really difficult conditions to play in today. The real high from last weekend, which I know can affect some teams and some players at some point, so we had that to deal with. But a really, you know, a dominant performance and some fantastic goals.
Really, like you said, really dominant performance. And I think after last week, I don't think many people kind of expected to come into another difficult game and just be as dominant. But you know, it's just kind of free flowing at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously Kova come and set up, you know, 5-4-1, get lots of bodies behind the ball to make it really difficult. So probably that first, 10-15 minutes, they made it difficult for us, and we weren't really free-flowing at the start of the game. But as I say, Cole managed to nick the first goal to get us on our way. And, you know, I think we grew in confidence from there, started to knock the ball about well, get the second goal of Callum, another great finish from him. But after that, obviously really disappointed to lose the goal from the corner kick. We should be defending that better, and we got a wee bit slack at that time, just in that stage in the game. But after that, you know, I think Callum's hit the bar again, and we had a couple of balls across the face of the goal. I think we really should have come in 3 or 4-1 at half time, and you know, really put the game to bed by half time.
You mentioned Cole getting the first goal, and the first goal's kind of all important, and especially in tough games like this. How important has it been that the players like Cole have been chipping in with goals this season as well?
Yeah, very much so. And just touching on what you said there, it's when you know a team are playing a very low block, and as I said, 5-4-1, it's always important to try and get an early goal. And we got, you know, a fairly early goal for there, and got the second one, even though Cove didn't change their shape at that time and try and force ourselves or you know, press us. They just kept a very low block and really tried to keep the score down.
I think it says a lot about the team as well. You know, 12 goals in the last 2 games, doesn't matter kind of won the league or not, how many games left to go or what's happened in the game, they just keep running for that 90 minutes looking for that extra goal.
Yeah, we've got 22 goals this quarter, you know, 15 points out of 15 and 22 goals, so it's you know, I think people were saying, you know, we'd probably in the third quarter we weren't scoring as many goals as we should have, but we certainly put that to bed with the way they were performing, and again probably disappointed we didn't score another 7 or 8 goals today.
There you go. We usually only get one question from John McGlynn, and that lasts about 5 minutes, but we've got about 4 or 5 in there for Paul. So what do you make of that, Ross?
Yeah, no, that's good hearing from Smudger, isn't it? Because we don't often get to hear from him. But as we've heard before, they're almost, it's one person. It's they're the team. They do everything in conjunction with each other. I know John McGlynn's got the manager's tag and he's the assistant, but from by all accounts, they're a unit in terms of their decision making and how they are. So it is good to hear from them sometimes as well.
Capless as well. He wasn't wearing the cap.
Yeah, he was capless.
So there
he's
go.
Maybe lost it as
he's maybe lost it. That's what Chris was saying earlier on. He's maybe lost his cap. There you go. Well, let's get the champions cap on, Paul. Come on. Let's hear what you guys had to say about the game. Grant kicks us off by saying 5-star showing from the team and still could have had a few more. Tate brilliant again, and what a goal. Get him and Ethan Ross signed up for next season. If we can keep most of the squad together and add a few more, then we'll have a very good squad.
Indeed. Daryl says, Dylan Tate with one of the best individual performances I've ever seen from a Falkirk player. As for the team, we're flying just now. If we get past Sackies next week, I think we could go on to make history.
That's an interesting point. It was a bit, it was an exceptional performance yesterday. Is it up there as one of the best individual performances? I think the best individual performance you'll see from a Falkirk player was Ken McAllister against Hearts in the semi-final. Nothing will ever beat that. Unfortunately, we got beat that day, but it was the best individual performance anyway. If you've got any other ones that stand out, please let us know. Graham, about the easiest win we've had over Cove, never in any danger. We'd love to get Dylan Tate next season. What a player. It's a very common theme.
Yes, most of these comments, I think, are all making Dylan. Yeah, so Laura, just the same. What an outstanding goal from Dylan Tate, an absolute peach. The championship doesn't know what's heading their way.
Oh, I really hope we get Dylan Tate in another year. Gavin says, early goal in the second half is exactly what we need after a flat end to the first half. Dylan Tate, different gravy.
Indeed. Grant says, 5 years to recover from what Hartley done to us and how fitting it was that he had to give us a guard of honour. How good was it coming into a game and not having to look at results elsewhere? Perfect.
It was great. It was very, very good. Outstanding stuff, says Derek. Had to be said that these demolition jobs are being produced without Big Tam and Hendo. Strength and depth of squad is really shining through.
It's a good shout by Steely. It really is. Caroline says, Tate's goal was the best of the bunch. I also noticed the team were trying to get Lee on his goal. That's all I want to see is a goal for him now. Sean too, and Stephen after that. After his close one last week. What a team. I just love them.
Yeah, we all, there's a team that you can very much fall in love with at the moment, which we can't say we've had in recent seasons. And Jim finishes up saying, great stuff again today. The players know what is at stake and aren't letting up, which is brilliant to see. Tate was my man of the match, edging out Callum. But again, no failures. On to the big one at Hamilton. Keep bringing it, Bairns. Absolutely. Right, okay, Falkirk Daft rated. Ashley, let's come to you first.
Okay, I'd say Falkirk Daft rated Dylan Tate.
Ross, I'm assuming you're going for set. Yeah,
has to be. Yeah, he was, as someone said, a different gravy.
And unfortunately, sponsors got the wrong man in the match. Yes, even though Callum did have a very good game and scored his goal, it had to be Dylan Tate. Like you say, it was an unbelievable performance. I thought Brad Spencer wasn't far off him as well. I thought he was excellent yesterday. Big call, special mention as well for his goal as well. Just steady in the ship at the back. He's always brilliant. Big call. Right, have we got a Falkirk Dafty?
I'd say Stephen McGinn. I really like Stephen McGinn, but only for the two stray passes that he made in the second half. I just thought, oh no. I was like, you know, it could have been a brilliant pass and they just strayed at the hands of Cove. So, yeah, Stephen McGinn, Falkirk Dafty this week.
Ross?
Do you know what? I don't know. I maybe missed Stephen McGinn doing that because I couldn't think about it the other night. I was trying to think of what maybe didn't go. In terms of the player who I thought made least impact yesterday, I know he set up the first one, but Calvin Miller was really quite quiet the rest of the game. It's harsh to give him Dafty, but I think I'm going to go Calvin Miller. Just, I don't think it was his best game, assist aside, which was a brilliant cross.
Yeah, it was very good. I'm going to have to go Calvin as well. I thought he was breathing. I thought I was shouting for him to be subbed off a wee bit further on. But he did get there. It's a terrible position to be when you've got an assist. I think the Mad Dog and the Bucky and the Knights out of Bongos Bingos and maybe got to Calvin just a wee bit too much.
See, the thing is, he set such a high standard.
I know, that's it, I know.
I don't know if he would say it. I'm sure he will, but it looks and feels like this is his best season in his, of his career so far. So long may it continue.
I also put an additional Falkirk Daft rated into Sean Eldebrandt, the Falkirk FC commentator, for basically using wrestling terms in the football commentary, which I will go unnoticed a lot, but he did refer to Callum Morrison as the most electrifying man in the SPFL, which is odes to The Rock. So on WrestleMania weekend as well, shout out to Sean Eldebrandt. Keep the wrestling chat coming in the commentary. I had a chat with him at halftime as well. I was like, yes, love that chat, Sean. So keep it coming, Sean. Right, okay. Ashley, thanks for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me on.
It's been great to have you. And keep the photos coming because they're great.
Thank you.
Fantastic. And if you want to be like Ashley, we've got a few guests, but I think we're just about booked up for the rest of the season.
We're booked up already now for the rest of the seasons. However, if people do want to get in touch, because I know there's a few I have that we're probably going to need to do at the start of next season.
We've got a waiting list now for coming on to be a Falkirk Daft.
We do, John. And before you say any more, I want to give a shout out, and hopefully they might come on at some point in the future as well. On our way out yesterday, I got a tap on the shoulder, and it was a message from Doug Straffy, who was up from all the way from London just for the game. Him and his wife, Debbie, who they came up for the game, and they listen to the podcast every week. So fingers crossed we can get maybe Doug and Debbie on at some point.
I don't think we've had father-son, we've had mother-son, I don't think we've had husband-wife.
No, not yet. That would
be a marvellous thing.
And since our wives absolutely detest the football,
that'll never happen.
Maybe
we should. That would be quite a funny episode. Maybe next season we'll get the wives on with us as well, Ross. That would be an amazing episode. We'll maybe consider that next season. But yeah, if you want to be a guest pundit, please drop us a DM, Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So, onwards to Hamilton now. Four games to go, four games to become invincible, and this is probably going to be our toughest test, Ross.
It may well be, mate, yeah. They will want to make it very difficult for us.
They need to win the loser's trophy, which will be to beat us and stop the run to being invincible, isn't it?
Yeah, I think... Do you know what, as we've said before, we've got a target on our backs, but we've handled that target really, really well.
Yeah.
Have we got the firepower to beat Hamilton? Absolutely, because we've shown we have. I might have said this to you yesterday as well. I remember at the start of the season saying the only team that's going to trip us up is Falkirk.
Yeah.
And I genuinely believe that. If we turn up again on our A game at New Douglas Park, we will beat them next Saturday night.
They are going well, though. Seven games undefeated now for Hamilton. They had that really sticky patch, which really, you know, let the league us have. I mean, I think we would have went on to win it, you know, and I think... But they had that really sticky patch, but they're kind of past that now. Certainly not heard the grumblings about John Rankin that were, you know, he was on a very shaky peg at one point. But, I mean, they've consolidated that second spot as their own now. Mm-hmm. They're going to the playoffs. Whether they've got enough to get past, well, we don't know who's going to be second bottom in the championship as of yet. But, you know, they've struggled against Alloa. You know, they got beat off Alloa.
They have struggled against them, mate, and as we've seen as well, we don't know if it'll be Montrose or Cove yet, but Montrose are a tough team on their day as well. So
yeah,
it's not a gimme.
No, I know. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, what happens in the playoffs? But who cares about the playoffs? But no, Hamilton. I mean, there's going to be like you say, it's going to be a tough test. They're certainly turned the corner in terms of their form and everything like that as well. And like you say, it's just that mark on the back that they'll want to give us a bloody nose. And would you take a draw?
I would. Well, I would, to keep the unbeaten run going. Because I do want, because we're so close now, you can always taste it. You want the invincibles tag, but I'd love another shoo-in. Like, can you, like, the confidence is high, we're scoring goals for fun, we're creating a shitload of chances. So it's whether they can weather that storm. And as you said right at the beginning of the podcast, this navy blue juggernaut doesn't look like it's going to get stopped anytime soon. So I'd take a draw, but I would love another shoot. Can you imagine going through there and scoring 4 or 5 goals? It would be fantastic.
Yeah. Jamie Bar-Jonas was suspended at the weekend there. I suspect he'll be back into the side. Kevin O'Hara, I think, missed out on Saturday as well, though. But they've got the boy boy Hamilton's coming back from injury. And I don't know how far, what's his name, Scott Martin. I don't know. I've not noticed if he has got a game. Or I certainly know he was on his way back, but... if he is fit and available, he is a player I've really admired in the past. To be honest, just if we don't get Dylan Tate, he's a player I'd like to see at Falkirk.
Yeah, no, he's a player that is recognised as being one of the stronger ones in this league as well. So, and John McGlynn has stated before, he needs 3 or 4 strong signings to complement the squad. So. You never know.
Yeah. Oh no, I've just looked. He's been ruled out for the rest of the season, so he certainly won't be playing a part on Saturday. So that's good news for us. But yeah, Kevin O'Hara, like I say, he'll always be got to score against Falkirk just with the history in there. But we'll wait and see. I mean, Akeem Rose, we saw the kind of power, and you know, he caused us trouble. Obviously got 2 goals at the stadium the last time, and it has went on, scored a few goals. I think he's dried up slightly recently. I don't know if he actually scored there at the weekend. But, you know, like I say, Hamilton going good guns.
Yeah, no, their form's good, John, but I think it's obviously not as good as ours, but they are on a good form just now. And I do agree with you. I think if we can get past Aki's on Saturday, I would be pretty confident to go the last 3 games as well.
I think I will be, if I were coming to the stadium and they're still playing for something, that would be a tough test. But what I'm hoping is I will consolidate that third place, and then, you know, for us, we're playing for invincible at that point, which we would probably go on to do. So score prediction, Ross.
I'm going to say 3-0 Falkirk. For you?
No, Falkirk. I'm going to take a get out of dodge, score draw, 1-1, back up the road, keep the invincible run going. I'll be happy with that. But it would be good to smash them, I have to say. It would be good to beat them for a third time this season, because, you know, the first game, as we know at the stadium, was very cagey. 2 teams just not wanting to lose. We went there the last time and we absolutely battered them. You know, they got a wee shine in the light to get back into the game. And then at the stadium the last time as well, I mean, it could have been anything. I mean, we let them back into the game, but that was probably our own fault for letting that happen. But I think I'll take a draw on this one and get back to Falkirk with a point, I think. Let's see.
Yeah. Let's see how we go. It'll be a big crowd there. We'll outnumber them. Again, I would assume at least 2-1. It's live on TV. Let's put another show on for how many Gaelic speakers there are.
The Gaelic speakers are loving a bit of Falkirk at the moment. You know, we'll need to find out the Gaelic for loads of goals, because that's what's happening on Alba at the moment. But aye, let's see what happens next Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft.
That is it, my friends, for another edition of Falkirk Daft. Thanks once again to our sponsors, the Falkirk Football Fans and Train, and the Lava Cup happening at the stadium 25th of May. Get down there for half of and see the opening ceremony. Watch some football and donate your money to Strathcairn Hospital and the FDAMH. And if you want any more details, they're in the link below, along with our merch, which you can still get for the end of the season if you want to be sporting some Falkirk Daft, or maybe to our end of season party, you could wear it along there. We're going to have some merch to give away on the night as well for that. We've got some up our sleeve for that as well. You can, you know, if you want to sponsor the show, we've got, as well as our fantastic sponsors, the Lava Cup, we also have room for other sponsors if you run a local business. We had Norse Landscapes on a couple of weeks ago. We can do talk-ups at a very reasonable price for your business. And like I say, a lot of the money is going back. And I started this podcast thinking, I can make a bit of cash out of this. But in actual fact, Ross just takes charge of it all and says,
we'll
right,
spend it.
We're sponsoring this, we're sponsoring that, we're doing this. We're, oh, God's sake, your wife's like, I keep saying to the wife, I'm, it's not just a thing I do for pleasure. And she's like, where's the money? And I'm like, well, Ross has just spent on sponsoring a bit of the pitch, Siobhan.
Right. I think you need to remind her, though, that the Tam Lang shop sponsorship was pretty much you.
Don't mention that. Yeah. But listen, thank you very much for listening, as per usual. It's a big, long show today, actually. So, and thanks to Chris and Ashley for coming on as well. Right, so Hamilton, it's our last big away day, isn't it? I know you're going to Annan, but it's our last, for me, it's my last kind of hurrah. I've not told the wife yet that I'm getting the bus, but I'm off all week, so I've got brownie points to make up this week, so I'll be fine. But listen, thanks very much for listening, and until next time, Ross, Wayne,
expect unexpected, buddy, as always.